Excited about this series that we started last week. And if you weren't here, I'm going to review. And I'm not just reviewing for the people that weren't here. I'm reviewing for all of us, because the Bible says that faith comes not by having heard. Faith comes by hearing and hearing. Faith is how we receive. Faith is how we walk into what God has for us. And if faith comes by hearing and hearing the Word, I don't mind repeating and repeating the Word. Amen. If you have your Bibles, you can go to Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5 and 6. That's the golden text that we're using for this series called How to Be Led by the Spirit. This is part 2. Praise the name of Jesus. Proverbs chapter 3, if you don't have a Bible, we put two big ones right up on the wall for you. Hallelujah. Lord, we thank you for today, for our help, for what's about to be shared, what's about to be imparted into our lives. Now, Father, as I stand before these people, Lord, I'm humbled to be able to do so. Father, they didn't come here to hear from me in the sense that nobody wants my opinions or my philosophies or my ideas or my thoughts. Father, we are here to hear from heaven. Now, Father, the way that you do things in the New Testament is you anoint men and women of God to carry out your message. And if they'll be faithful to hear from you, Father, you'll speak through them. And then the people that come and come hungry, Father, will receive from heaven. And their lives will be changed. And so, Father, we thank you that that's the format this morning. Father, we've shown up ready. I know you're ready. I know I'm ready. And I know the people are ready. We're hungry to hear what you have to say. So, Father, I thank you. As I open my mouth, you're going to fill it with words from heaven. And, Father, I'll say things that will strike a bullseye and strike a chord in every single person's heart. Even though every single person here is in a different season in life, going through different circumstances, different situations, different trials and tests, different questions they might have. Father, only you, because you are supernatural, can take a room full of people that have different things, different needs, and meet every single one of us right here this morning. So we thank you that's going to happen. We turn the service over to you, Father, and make my tongue like the pen of a ready writer. As I open my mouth, I thank you you'll fill it, and we'll be blessed today. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5 says this: Trust in the Lord with your heart. Lean not unto your own understanding, your own thinking, your own ways. In fact, in all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. Caleb was asking me, Dad, what's some of your favorite verses? I said, these are right up there, you know. Because in these verses, in verse 6 here, God is offering you the opportunity in every area of your life. No matter where you struggle, no matter where you're stuck, no matter what situation you might have put yourself in, maybe a self-inflicted wound. You know how many know we do that at times? But God's faithful. In when trials come, tests come, the enemy throws things at us, people throw things at us. We don't know the answer. We don't know how to get past it. A financial thing, a physical thing, things with our children, things with our businesses, things in life. God says, if you'll acknowledge me, and in the verse before, he says, if you won't trust in your own way, but if you'll trust in me with your heart, acknowledge me in these things, he said, I will direct your paths. Now, you might think, do I want God directing my path? Well, go to Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10. Listen to what he says about the path that he has for you. You heard me say in the announcements, before we got into those, that my goal is to get you onto God's plan. Well, my goal is not to get you onto God's plan because it's going to be bad for you or make your life worse. It's because it'll make your life better. In Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10, let's look at what he says about his path or his plan. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them. So he says there's good works that he has ordained before that we should walk in them. Well, the Amplified makes that a lot easier to understand. If we could pull that up, that would be a blessing. This same verse in the Amplified, what's it do? It amplifies the meaning of this verse. It makes it easier for us to understand. For we are God's own handiwork, his workmanship, recreated in Christ Jesus, born anew, that we may do those good works which God predestined. Now look at this. Planned beforehand for us. Taking paths. Didn't he say, I'd like to direct your paths? He says, taking paths which he prepared. So there's a lot of paths in the world, but there are paths that he prepared. that we should walk in them. Now look at the result. Do I want to walk in God's path? Do I want to walk in God's plan? Well, if you do, he said, you'll live the good life. The good life isn't a life of torment. The good life isn't a life of struggling financially. The good life isn't a life of physical sickness and disease running rampant in your life. The good life isn't having your kids off serving the devil. That's not the good life. The good life is abundant life, doing things God's way and getting what God says you can have. He said, my path that I prearranged, made ready for you to live, will cause you to walk in the good life. Now, I want to help you to hear today, because I know what a lot of people think, because they think, I didn't know this stuff. I made decisions and did things and suffered consequences in a situation, whatever. Now, how many of you know you start today? Even if you put yourself in a terrible position, he's your father. When my kids screw up, I don't forsake them. When my kids mess up, I don't kick them when they're down. I say, let's get back up and let's start going the right way, son. Let's start going the right way, Abby. Let's do things the right way. From this point forward, we're going to be blessed. The devil would love to hold you in your mistakes. The devil would love to hold you in your past and your failures. That's not what God's doing. People would love to hold you in your past and your failures, but that's not what God does. God is merciful. God is loving. He looks at your life and says, I want to help you no matter how you got there. And he says, there's a path and a plan that even right now, how many of you know, have you ever taken a wrong turn and you're going the wrong way? How many of you know, that doesn't mean that the right way is gone forever. It means you just got to make an adjustment and get back on the right way. You don't sit there and say, well, I've gone the wrong way. I know the exit's back there and we're heading south to Florida. But, you know, I took an exit. We're heading west. I guess I just got to keep going to California. No, get off the wrong road. Get back on the right exit and get going to where you're supposed to be going. Amen. That's what he wants for you. So his path, his plans are good. And I told you a story the Lord gave me, an illustration. God will make you look real good. At times I think, what am I going to say, Lord? And then I get up here and I have a lot to say. A lot of examples, illustrations that I don't even know I'm going to say before I say them. It's because the Holy Ghost helps me. And I told the story, I would go for walks in the woods with my children. And I'll use Abby as the example now because she's little. And Caleb's bigger, he doesn't need this as much anymore. There's certain parts we get into if I take him turkey hunting where I need to lead the way. But with Abby, she's so little, you know, and there's... You know, she just aimlessly walking through the woods, not thinking about the fact that that plant down there is not one you want to rub up against, or that prickers, those are prickers right there. Those are going to hurt if you walk through that. Or, hey, there's a stick up ahead that you're not going to see and trip over and fall and get muddy, get hurt, bloodied up, you know, and get all sad. And it's happened so many times. So I tell her, when we get in situations in the woods like that, I say, Abby, now stay right with me. Stay right behind, right next to Daddy, right behind Daddy. Let Daddy lead the way. What am I doing? I'm looking for things. I'm seeing things. I'm clearing out the briars. I'm clearing out the prickers. I'm getting the sticks out of the way. If there's a puddle she's going to fall in or a mud, I'll go around that for her. And it works out for her and she stays blessed. But when Abby does her own thing and gets off to the right 40 yards, I usually hear tears. Well, I don't hear the tears, but I hear crying and see the tears. Or she gets out in front of me, comes back with scratches on her face. Why? Got out in front of her daddy. Got off of daddy's path. But when she stays in daddy's path, she's blessed in the woods. Well, that's what God is saying to us. He said, I made a path. I've made a plan for you. Stay on my path and my plan. And the prickers of life won't smash you in the face. The pitfalls of life. Now, I'm not saying tests and trials won't come, but when you're doing it in God's path, and when the tests and trials come, there also comes grace from Him. There comes power from Him. There comes favor from Him. There comes blessing from Him. Going on His path at times can bring tests and trials because the enemy's mad that you're doing it. But in that path, you have His help. You have His help. Amen. Hallelujah. If we're walking through the woods and we come up and we have to go through a mud spot and there's no way around it, and you know, sometimes those rubber boots, you get stuck in the mud, you pull yourself out, and the boots stay, and you go. And if she's with me, hand in hand, and we get in a hard spot, she's got me there to help get her out. But if she gets in a mud spot 50, 60 yards down there, and I don't know it, she's on her own. Well, that's the problem that people do. They get out away from God. They get out ahead of God. They're not on his path. They're wondering, why is life smacking me? Why is this not hard? Why is it not working? Pastor talks about this abundant life. Pastor talks about this joy and this victory, but I'm sure not seeing it. Are you doing it God's way? Because he said the good life is found in his path, his plan. So that's what we're trying to help you with. But we told you that you can't play basketball with baseball rules. You can't play football with basketball rules. I have yet to see Tom Brady in the shotgun take a snap and start bouncing that ball and running up to the goalposts and shooting it through. Why? That would be basketball rules. I've yet to see Michael Jordan, right, catch the ball and run down, get past the line and start doing an end zone celebration on the basketball court. If you play basketball with baseball rules or football with basketball rules, you're going to be struggling and you're going to have a tough time. Well, God says, I'll lead you, I'll guide you, and I'll direct you, but you got to play by my rules. In Romans 8 and verse 14, it tells us his rules. And this is what we're helping you learn in this series. Now remember what he said. He said in Proverbs 3, I want to direct, I want to guide, I want to lead you onto this path. Well, how's he doing it? Well, Romans 8, 14 tells us, for as many as are led, as many as are directed, as many as are guided by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Well, how's he going to guide you and direct you onto the good paths, the plan that he has prearranged, made ready for you to live, living the good life? He said, the way I'll guide you, the way I'll lead you onto that path is by the Spirit. Amen. Amen. We're going to dive into this more today to bring it out something even more. So Proverbs 20 and verse 27 told us that the Spirit of man in Proverbs 20:27 says, is the candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly. You can pull that up, Kim Lai. Proverbs 20, verse 27. It's important that you know this. Because remember what he said. They that are led by the Spirit are the sons of God. Well, the Bible says the Spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly. It tells us where our spirits are located. Now, one of the things you're going to see today in depth is that you are a three-part being. And that the main part of you, or the real you, is a spirit being. Your mind is not the real you. Your flesh is not the real you. The real you that's going to live forever is the spirit. And the Bible says the spirit of man is located in the belly region, the center, the heart of a man, the center of a man or a woman. And so he says, the way I'm leading you and guiding you is by the Spirit. And we showed you, and this is worth going back to, John chapter 14 and verse 15. Because you need to understand how this works. John chapter 14 and verse 15. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you or live with you forever. Well, excuse me, who's he talking about the comforter? He goes on to say in verse 17, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, only people that can receive it are Christians. That's what he's saying. The world can't receive the Spirit of God is what he's saying. Because they can't see him, neither do they know him, but you know him. But notice this, for he will dwell with you. Where's he going to dwell with you? He, the Spirit of God, shall be in you. Do you see that there? Now go with me to John chapter 16 and verse 7. So the Bible says that when you become a Christian, the Holy Ghost, or the Spirit of God, comes on the inside of you and dwells on the inside of you. The other thing that happened when you got born again, the Bible says you became a new creation. Well, your flesh didn't change. You didn't get taller. You didn't get shorter. You didn't get stronger naturally. Your hair didn't change color, but the inside of you changed. You became a brand new creation. Your spirit, that's what's called born again. When you're born again, it didn't mean you came out of your mama again. No. Your spirit was born again, made brand new. So two things happened at the new birth. God came on the inside to live. God came on the inside to live, and then your spirit on the inside was reborn or regenerated, made new. It says in verse 7, nevertheless, I tell you, it is expedient for you or advantageous that I go away. For if I don't go away, the comforter won't come unto you. Well, who's the comforter? We saw the Spirit of truth. He won't come unto you, but if I depart, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment, of sin because they believe not on me, of righteousness because I go to my Father and you see me no more, of judgment because the prince of this world is judged. I have many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them. But look at verse 13. Howbeit, he says, you can't bear it now, but he says, now you can. Howbeit, when he, see, the Bible calls the Spirit of God a he, the Spirit of truth is come, he, because the one place the Bible calls the Spirit an it, you know, and the translator's got that wrong, he's not an it, it's part of the Godhead. It says, he, the Spirit of God, when he has come, now remember, when he comes, when is he going to come? Dwell on the inside of you. Remember, we saw that just a second ago. He will guide. See that word guide? Well, what did he say in Proverbs 3? I want to guide. I want to direct. I want to lead. What did Romans 8:14 say? For as many as are led, for as many as are directed, for as many as are guided by the Spirit of God. Well, he says here that when the Spirit comes on the inside, one of his job descriptions is to guide you into all truth. Well, the best truth there is the Word of God. And the Word said that he wants to lead you into the good life. That's what the Word said he has for you. So the Spirit's saying, I want to lead you into the good life that I've already prearranged and made ready for you to live in. Now, how's he do it? Well, this is what the rest of the verse tells us, how that happens. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he, the Spirit, hears, he shall speak, and he will show you things to come. Well, what happens is when you get born again, the Holy Ghost comes on the inside of you. You have a brand new spirit that's alive unto God. He said, I'll lead you by the Spirit of God. Proverbs 4 and verse 27 says that the Spirit of the Lord, or the Spirit of man, is the candle. What's a candle used for back in those times? What a flashlight is used for now. To see where you're going. To make sure you don't trip up. To make sure you don't stumble. To watch out for things that are in the way. To get you where you need to go. He says, the Spirit of man, that's what is the how God guides. Well, it says here that the Holy Ghost is going to hear. What's he hearing? From heaven. God knows what you need to do. God knows how to get you unstuck. God knows how to get you into that good life, prearranged way to live. He sees things from above. You see, you might be lost in the woods, and you might not know how to get out. And it might be dark, and you know, things get dark, and you can't see where you're going. But if you had an overview or a bird's eye view from where you stand in the woods, and if you could relay that to yourself and say, hey, all you got to do is turn right and walk straight 50 yards and you'll be in a field. Turn left and walk 200 yards or a half a mile and you'll be at the nearest road. You can't see that when you're in the woods. But when you're above, you can see it all. And God sits from a perched position, from above. He's seen your life. From the beginning to the end. He's the Alpha and the Omega. He's the beginning and he's the end. He knows everything about your life. He knows right now where you're stuck in the woods and can't find your way out. If you learn to follow him and say, just do this, I'll get you out of it. Just go this way, I'll get you out of it. I don't know how to, my finances are struggling. God sees it and says, if you'll make this change, my relationship's struggling, if you'll just do this. The Holy Ghost hears from him. The Holy Ghost isn't in a perched position. He's on an inside position. But God's in a perched position, seated in heavenly places. So he sees our life. We're stuck. We learn how to follow the Spirit of God. The Holy Ghost hears from heaven. We're praying. We're seeking God on finances. This problem we have, we're stuck. We can't get past this. Things aren't working out. We're spinning our wheels year after year. It's getting worse and worse and worse. God knows the answer. God relays it to the Holy Ghost. We learn how to hear from the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost then shall not speak of himself, but whatever he hears from heaven, that will he speak and then show you things to come. So the Holy Ghost hears from God on what to do, then relays it unto you, your spirit, where they dwell together. But ladies and gentlemen, there's a problem. If you don't learn how to hear from heaven, if you don't learn how to follow the Holy Ghost, you won't learn how to be guided and directed by him. Because that's the only way he's leading. That's the only way he's guiding. Hallelujah. And so I said this, you know, when people come up against something, they always look in the wrong places for their help. They go to so-and-so. They get on the internet. They're stuck, you know. They consult their mind. They consult their feelings. The answer's found on the inside. The Holy Ghost has all the answers. God knows every single thing. and what we know of Him, that He wants to be a good life, prearranged, ready for us to live, who's a loving Father. He only wants to direct you out of bad into good. Amen. How's He going to do that? By the Holy Ghost. But go with me to 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 23. Let's build upon last week and what the review was just about. But we needed to hear that. We need to be reminded. That's how He's leading. That's how He's guiding. We need to be aware of what's on the inside. You remember the story I told you of that video game, that old Nintendo game that sold for thousands and thousands of dollars. It was sitting at a pawn shop for years. And they'd sell old video games, Sega games, Atari games. I saw this on the news. And the guy that's working there, the whole time, his winning lottery ticket's on the shelf behind him. That game's sitting on the shelf for 50 cents. Sitting there the whole time, but he was unaware. Had a treasure right there in his midst and had no idea. But somebody came in that was aware of the old Nintendo games and aware of what that game was bringing on eBay and saw that game and said, I'll purchase that for 50 cents. Put that game up for sale, and now it's changed their life financially. What was the difference? One was aware, one was unaware. Christians walk through life unaware. All the time walking through life, struggling with things year after year. Ladies and gentlemen, you have God on the inside of you. The Spirit of God, the Bible says, is the same as God, same as Jesus, same as God. They're three in one. You have God on the inside of you, and yet we look outward for answers and opinions and thoughts. And the whole time the answer's in here. But if you're unaware of it, just like that guy was, he had a lottery ticket sit right there, but he was unaware. So I'm trying to make you aware. Hallelujah. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 23, Paul said, the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God your, everybody say my. He's talking about you now, what you have. He said, I pray God your whole spirit, which was what? Recreated at the new birth. Your whole spirit, your whole soul. See, soul and spirit aren't the same. It says spirit and soul. They're different. I don't have time to teach this, but in the Bible, it teaches that the soul of man is the mind, the will, and the emotions of a man. The spirit's the recreated thing that lives forever and ever, that goes to be with Him. Your spirit, soul, and what? Body. Your. That means your, that you have spirit, soul, and body. Okay? What am I trying to tell you? You are a three-part being. You are a spirit. That's what lives forever. That's why you have to make arrangements for the body when you die, because the body stays, but the spirit goes. You are a spirit, you have a soul, and all of that is dwelled or is housed in the flesh suit or the body. Amen? You're a three-part being. But notice this now. God says, out of the three-part being, spirit, soul, and body, Romans 8:14 does not say, for as many as are led by their thoughts. Proverbs 3 and verse 5 does not say, trust in the Lord with your thoughts. Trust in the Lord with your mind. No. Yet Christians all the time are consulting their thoughts on what they should do. But that's not how God's leading you. He doesn't say, for as many as are led by the body, which would be their flesh, their feelings, are led by God. Trust in the Lord with your feelings. Trust in the Lord with your flesh. No, that's dangerous. He says the only way that it's possible for you to walk into the top life, top shelf life that I have for you is to follow the Spirit of God. Now here's what I'm trying to tell you is that of that three-part being, every single one of those parts is endeavoring to lead you. And I'm going to make a statement that might sound sensational. I'm not trying to be. Might sound like you're just painting a big broad stroke to make a point. It's the truth. Most Christians do not follow the Holy Ghost in life. They don't know how. They're not aware of it. Most Christians follow their thoughts and their feelings. And they wouldn't know it if the Holy Ghost jumped up and bit them in the rear end. I'm just telling you. All the time, people are consulting what they think, what they want to do, how they feel. Well, guess what? God says, I'm going this way. When you go on your thoughts, bye, Abby. Good luck with that. God's not there. Where's God? Over here on the path that He said I am. I consult my feelings. Okay. See you later, Abby. Go have fun over there in the briars. Woo-wee. This isn't an exaggeration when I say it. This stuff will save your life. Life and death type stuff here we're talking about. Why? There have been times and situations in my own life learning to follow the Holy Ghost where the Lord told me to do something and it spared my life. Where it changed my life. Where it opened doors that couldn't have opened doors otherwise. Praise God. And I want to help you with that this morning. Proverbs 3 and verse 5. And if I just read a verse, Kim, why you just go there? Unless I tell you not to, I'd appreciate that. You know, I was thinking today when I was up here worshiping, sometimes thoughts go in my head. I'd have to corral those, you know, but other times they come from the heart and then it enlightens my mind. And I was just so blessed by the faithfulness of the people that serve around this church. I'm telling you, this is a well-oiled machine around here. People faithful, doing their part, serving in nursery, doing children's church, people directing departments, filling out schedules, people coming to clean, people ushering, getting here early, doing things, sitting back in the sound booth, sitting out in the hall so we're safe, and people doing stuff around here, making food and cleaning up every week. It's like, thank you so much. Praise God. We would not be able to have church without everybody doing their part. Amen? And if you're not doing your part, come on and start doing your part. There's things for you to be a blessing. Amen? Hallelujah. But thank you, thank you, thank you for those that serve. You're not overlooked by any means and certainly not by the Lord. But Proverbs 3 and verse 5, he tells you right in the beginning, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Well, what's he saying? Where's the heart, the belly, the spirit of man? He says, lean not on your own thinking. He says, don't trust your mind. Don't trust your thoughts. The Bible never tells you to be led by your mind. Now look what it says in Proverbs 14 and verse 12. Just real quick. Just telling you a little bit what the Word says about your mind. Proverbs 14 and verse 12. Look at this. There is a way, what's a way? A path. That seems like the right thing. Unto man. But what? The ways... But the end thereof are the ways of death. What's he saying? You do things your way, you're going to end up in the briar patch. You're going to end up in the mud hole. You're going to end up with bruises and cuts and unnecessary things. Oh, I'm going to show you a story today. One of the things that make me laugh the hardest on the inside, don't do it to people's faces, because that wouldn't be nice to laugh at them, is when people say, the devil's been after me. No, you stepped in the briar patch. You stepped in the briar patch. The devil didn't throw you in the briar patch. Oh, Pastor Mike, don't do that to us. Everything happens for a reason. Yeah, the reason is you stepped off the path and got into the briar patch. That's the reason. Abby comes back crying all cut up. I guess everything just happens for a reason, Dad. Yeah, Abby, you didn't listen to me and stay in my path. That's why it happened. There is a reason for everything you're right, and that was it. Yeah. Now, there are times that you're doing everything right, and the devil will attack you. I'm not saying there's not. But, oh, there's a lot of credit that the devil gets, that the devil ought not get. You ought to just pat your own self on the back because you got out ahead of God, because you got out away from God's path. You did things your own way. Now again, that's not to condemn you and beat you up. If you recognize, say, Pastor, I've done that. No, no, no. Right now, from this point, we make a turn and get back in the path, into the blessing. But I'll tell you what, the devil gets a lot of credit for things. Whoo, he sure does. Well, we're going to see some things today and help you. Praise God. A way that seems right unto man, but the ways are death. Isaiah 55 and verse 8. What am I saying? Your thoughts are not the way to go. Isaiah chapter 55 and verse 8. I mean, God tells us right here, my thoughts, God says, or the way I think, are not your thoughts, not the same as yours. He says, neither are your ways my ways. We don't want to do it our way. We want to do it His way. Verse 9, for as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. What's he saying? Don't go your way. Don't go your thoughts. Stop going your way, Abby. When I say stay with me, I meant it. When I say stay in my path, it was for a reason. To keep you blessed, to keep you safe, to keep you protected, to keep you on the path. Look what he says to do with your mind. Now, he never says to be led with your mind, but he does tell you to do something with your mind. You want to find out what that is? Go to Romans 12 and verse 2. He tells you exactly what to do with your mind. And I'm going to give you a little story here in a second. Romans 12 and verse 2. Be not conformed to the world, but be transformed. Now, before I tell you what the transformation is, I mean, you can see it up there. The end of the verse says, if you'll do this, the perfect will of God. Don't forget, parents, you have nursery numbers up there. I see a number up there. Don't always be mindful of that. I know it's small. Sometimes it's hard to see that. But that helps the nursery workers if we can see those. Maybe we'll try to get something bigger put up there to help you out. It says, be not conformed to the world. And it says, at the end, the perfect will of God. What this verse is saying is how you can get on the perfect will of God. He says, be not conformed to the world, but be transformed. Transformed into what? The end of that verse, the perfect will of God, which is what? The path, the good life. Amen. How are you going to get transformed from poverty to prosperity, which is his path, from sickness to health, from depression to joy, from fear to victory? How are you going to be transformed into these things? By the renewing of your mind. Not being led by your mind. Renew your mind. Well, what does that mean to renew your mind? Well, we know what it means, but the Bible always explains itself, and in James it tells us. It says in, let's go there, go to James. Oh, I got to find this. Go to James chapter 1. In verse 21. Wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness. What's he saying? Don't be like the world. He's saying the same thing. Don't be like the world. Be transformed out of the world's way into God's way, which will result in the perfect will of God, or his plan, his path. How are we going to do this? Receive with meekness the engrafted word of God, which is able or has the ability or the purpose to save or rescue or deliver your souls. Well, that can't be talking about heaven and hell because it's written to Christians, and the soul is not the same thing as the spirit. The soul he's talking about is what Romans 12 is saying. To be transformed, you got to renew your mind. Save your mind. Rescue your mind. How are you going to do it? Receiving the word. What is the word? The word is God's thoughts. The word is God's ways. What does God think about a subject? The word tells us. What does God think about how we should raise our kids? The word tells us. What does God think about how we get into health? The word tells us. What does God think about what we do with our money? The word tells us. It says, don't go your way. But how are you going to, what are you supposed to do with your mind? Renew it. He says the way you're going to get into his perfect will is you got to do something with this. You can't just let this run wild. Why? It's trying to lead you. And the ways this thing will lead you, the ways thereof are death. Well, how do you save your mind? You receive the word. You only think how God thinks. You throw away how you think on a subject because we come into this thing, into church, with our own thoughts, don't we? Our own opinions. Our own pet doctrines and things. Well, it's not about our thinking and what we want to hold to. It's about what he thinks. Hallelujah. I'm so thankful I learned in the Word how to raise my kids. Now my kids are polite and disciplined. Not saying they're perfect. They're kids. But they're not running rampant and causing hell on earth and not making my life miserable. The only reason I knew that is because I found out in the Word how to raise children. That's it. That's it. I'm so thankful my money. I always have supernatural provision, even when the natural. Why? God told me how to think concerning money, and I did it. It's the truth. You've got to renew your mind. How do you renew it? You receive the word. You take on God's thoughts. Renew means stop thinking like you think, because he already said your thoughts are not his thoughts, and start thinking like he thinks. How does he think? This is his thoughts. I remember we would take up the offering for the parking lot. Remember, we needed like $37,000 for the parking lot to get paved. And the Lord had led me to do that. And I was actually coming to a service one night when the Holy Ghost spoke it so clear in my heart, announced that we're getting the parking lot done and take up an offering. I hadn't even found out the price yet. Well, then I found out it was $30,000. Well, how many of you know that's a good chunk of change? And we had even less people back when we took that up, a year and a half, two, I don't even remember how long ago it was, but less people here. And we knew we had, it was going to be $30,000. The Spirit of God told me take that offering up. Well, if He tells me to do something, that means the money's going to come. Well, I had somebody come up to me. You know, they're not here anymore. I wouldn't tell you who it was anyways. I never tried to embarrass anybody. They got a hold of me on the phone. And they said, Pastor, we're worried about this. Well, we're worried about this parking lot offer. I said, why are you worried? I said, I didn't ask you to pay for the whole thing. What are you worried about? Well, you know, we calculated. And we looked around in the church. And we looked around in the church and we looked at certain people and we counted how many people were there and we kind of thought about maybe what their income might be and we divided it between everybody and everybody in the church is going to have to bring a certain amount of money. They said, we know certain people in church can't bring that amount of money. And I'm sitting there listening to it. We know. We just told you. I said, listen to me. I said, don't try to figure this out in your head. This wasn't birthed in my head. The Spirit of God told me to do it. And if He said, I'll do it. See, what were they doing? Being led by their thoughts. Well, we're going to try to think this one out. We're going to try to calculate and make think this through. No. That's the problem with a lot of you. The way you think leads to death. Can't think about it. No, you got to follow the Spirit. Because your thoughts at times are not going to go the way God wants to go. In fact, the way that God has you to go will make your mind go on tilt. When God told me, quit my full-time job with a pregnant wife and start a church in South Stinking Dayton, New York, a population of 600 people, no congregation members, go start it, no building, no promise of any salary, quit your job. Do you know what my mind was telling me? You are an idiot. You can't do that. Well, I don't consult my head. Come from the Spirit. I didn't consult my head with the parking lot. I know how many people are here. I know that if you divide that number by people, it's going to put a requirement on some people that maybe they're not. I know that. But the Spirit of God doesn't tell us to do something if we can't get it done. Amen. And not only 30,000 came in, almost double came in. Praise God is right. Hallelujah. And it's been a blessing to have that. Well, what's the second part of the being you are? Spirit, soul, and body. Romans chapter, or Proverbs 3 doesn't say, trust in the Lord with your body, trust in the Lord with your heart. Go to Romans 12 and verse 1. Romans chapter 12 and verse 1. Oh, this is a good one because you know what most Christians are? They're feely Christians. You know what a feely Christian is? Led by their emotions. Led by their feelings. They're thought and emotion led. Not emotion less. Emotion led Christians. And it leads into the briars of life, the pitfalls of life, the struggles of life, the ruts of life. Why, year after year, are my finances not changing? Why, year after year, is this situation not getting any better? Why year after year am I depressed and full of anxiety and fear and pastors preach about the abundant life, emotions and thoughts? Because the path God has for you is not filled with anxiety. It's not filled with fear. It's not filled with financial struggle. It's not filled with a boatload of sickness. No. It's the good life. And in Romans chapter 12 and verse 1, he says this. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies. So he's going to tell us what to do with our bodies, but it's not to be led by them. Present your bodies a living sacrifice. What? Holy. That's a dirty word. That's a dirty four-letter word in church, to be holy. No, he says, be holy as I am holy. That's what he said. He says, the what you do with your bodies, why? Because what you're going to see in a second is if you don't do something with your body, it'll run wild and it'll lead you. And the emotions and the flesh will lead you. He says, present your bodies a sacrifice. What's he saying? Lay your body on the altar. Sacrifice that thing. Kill that thing. Yeah. What does the Bible say? I've been crucified with Christ. Yes. Crucify in the flesh. Have you heard that term? Taking up your cross. Why? Because your flesh is endeavoring to lead you into wrong things. Which is your acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. One translation says, an act of worship to Him. Well, go with me to Galatians 5 and verse 16. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 16. This I say, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. But the next verse is what I want you to see. For the flesh, the body, lusteth. That word lusteth means the word warreth. The flesh or the body wars, not cooperates. War. What's a war? Two opposing people, forces coming together in battle. They're opposite. They're in opposition. It says that the flesh wars against the Spirit. And they are contrary, not the same, contrary one to the other. So that you cannot do the things that you would. He's saying your body is not going and your flesh is not going the way that the Spirit would go. So what's the answer to that? You crucify the flesh. You put the body on the altar, praise God. What? Know ye not that your body, your flesh, is a temple of the Holy Ghost? Which is in you, which you have, which you are not of your own. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit. Your body and your flesh are endeavoring to lead you. Oh, in this series we'll see so many different examples in my own life. Of times I got in trouble by being led by emotions and by thoughts. Let me give you an example. See, it's dangerous to be led by your emotions. I'm going to give you a story in the Word here to finish this message up. But I want to give you an example from the church about learning to be led by Spirit. I'm not perfect yet, and I have not achieved 100% success in that, but I'll tell you what, I'm a lot better than I was a year ago. A lot better than I was 2 years ago. A lot better than I was 3 years ago. In honing this, in learning the voice of God. It's dangerous to follow our flesh while your flesh is at war with your spirit. That means it's going to want to go the opposite way of what God's doing. And oh, our flesh is loud, isn't it? It's noisy. Emotions and thoughts and all that stuff that comes with it. When we took up that parking lot offering and we got double, not everybody wanted to shout and rejoice about that. Well, what does the church need with an extra $30,000? Well, what do you need with an extra penny than your bills?
Come on. Stir it up.
I guess we're supposed to just meet the bills and never save, never have any for the rainy day fund. Oh, you see people getting their own minds and their agendas. And there was an individual that was not faithful at all to the church. You know, if I saw a person once every 3-4 months, that was a lot. And they were struggling. And they had lost their job and didn't have a job. And a couple people in the church that heard the parking lot offering, and some time had gone by. This person that had reached out to me told me their situation, the one that had been there in like 3-4 months, you know, once every 3-4 months, and they told me their story, sob story. I'll tell you what my flesh and my mind wanted to do. Wanted to write them a check. I'm compassionate. I have a heart. I wanted to write them a check, but you know what the Spirit of God told me to do? Don't you dare. In fact, the Spirit of God said this, that check is just a Band-Aid. This exact word he said, that check is just a Band-Aid, and you don't put a Band-Aid on a gaping wound. That's what the Holy Ghost said. Now I'm telling you, my flesh and my mind wanted to write the check. Why? My flesh and my mind have written checks before that the Holy Ghost said not to do. And I paid for it later. Why? Because I got into my emotions. A lot of you in the body of Christ are led by emotions with family. You do things because family leads you to emotion. You don't even check in with God because you think you know best, but you don't. God knows how to help that person. You're not God and you're not Jesus. Stop trying to be their Jesus and their God. How about you get down on your face, hear from heaven, find out what would be the best for them, and then do it. I mean, I'm seeing double up here. I'm on fire today. My God, something's happening up here. I'm not saying it's the Spirit. I might be in the flesh right now. I don't know, but it feels good. Woo-wee. I'm telling you. That's the way people do it. They get in their emotions. And their emotions tell them this, and they forfeit what God's doing because they think they know best. And I can save them. I can rescue them. No, you can't. Jesus can. I've gotten in trouble that way at times in my past with family members. It's happened to me at least twice that I can think of where I did something outside of the Spirit of God because my mind and my flesh got involved, and it did not lead to increase because the blessing of the Lord leads to increase, not the blessing of doing it your way. And that people in the church, that guy called me, and I didn't give him any money. He didn't ask for any money, but I didn't give him any money. But that guy went back and told other people in church, well, the church didn't even give me any money. I told him I'm struggling, I don't have a job, and I'm Well, they heard it, and they had emotion in a heart, and they followed their emotion in a heart. They even reached out to me. I just said, be careful, foul spirit, you know. And they gave him money. We're just funding this person. Well, got a call not too long after that, a few months later. All hell broke loose in this person's life, and this couple called me. They said, we got to tell you, we're sorry. I said, what happened? They said, that person, every penny that we were giving them was going to support their addiction. Wasn't helping them pay their bills. They can't pay their bills now. They're struggling. Things are happening bad enough. They're not paying their bills. Well, what was the gaping wound? The gaping wound was the addiction. A check does not help an addict. In fact, it can be the gasoline on an already burning fire. And they kept funding and funding and funding, and the Holy Ghost told me no. And they got mad at me and they were mad at first, yelled at me, I can't believe you got $30,000 extra dollars and you won't help this person. I said, I got to obey God. This ain't a bank. I have not seen First Family Church on the front, First Family Church Bank on the side. All I see is Family Church. It's not a bank. It's not a bank. Now, have I helped people before? Yeah, by the leading of the Spirit. You're darn right I will. But when the Spirit of God says to do so, He didn't say to do it in this case. And they called me up mad as a hornet at first. Then they called me in repentance and said, we got in our emotions and our flesh and thought we were doing the right thing. You know, they were doing the wrong thing. And they were, gasoline. That's what happens. People don't follow the Holy Ghost. They follow their own thoughts and their own feelings. Don't lead to any good. Don't lead to any good. It might appease your mind because you're doing something, but it ain't leading to any good. Now, are you ready? I know it's almost 11:30. Can I have 10 minutes? I know. What are you going to say? No, Pastor, you can't. Pastor, no. But I didn't start preaching until about 10:40, so this will give us about an hour of preaching, which is about the max I want to go. Go to Genesis chapter 12 and verse 1. I'm going to show you a story to warn you and caution you of not following God. Because following the Holy Ghost is just following God. Following what God says. Genesis chapter 12. In verse 1. Now the Lord said to Abram. Now this eventually turns into Abraham when God changes his name. This is the first place Abraham is mentioned in the Bible. The Lord said to Abram, get out of your country. What's his country? What he's familiar with. What he's comfortable with. What makes sense to him. Away from your kindred. What? Away from your comfort zone. Oh, man. You wait until the Lord has me preach on associations. And even the closest people to us that are not good for us and need to be guarded against. But you know what Christians we do? Blood's thicker than water. Blood's thicker than water. No, blood's thicker than common sense. And people do things for blood that are outside the boundaries of common sense and wisdom all the time. It's the truth. And God says, get away from what you're comfortable with. I got something better for you, Abraham. From your father's house, everything the man was comfortable with, unto a land that I will show you. He didn't even tell him what it was. He said, get up and start going, and then you start going, then I'll show you. See, that's how God leads. He tells you one thing, you do it, He'll tell you the next thing. See, we want the whole picture, but that's not faith. Learning to follow the Holy Ghost is like learning to put a puzzle together, one piece at a time. Put in that, follow that dot, connects you to the next dot. And after a while, suddenly a picture formed. Now look what he says. If you follow me, remember what I said, that God's path, God's plan is blessing. Blessing of the Lord makes rich. And I will make you a great nation. Woo-wee, that sounds good. And I will bless you. Wow, there it is, God's path, God's plan. And I will make your name great. Man, this sounds pretty good. And you will be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless you. And I will curse him that curse you. What's he saying? I got your back, Abraham. In you, all families of the earth will be blessed. What's God saying? You can keep going on your way, or you can start going on my way, where it's going to get a lot better. You know what God's saying to you today? You can keep going your way, or you can start going my way, where it's a heck of a lot better. Your choice. Your choice. And look what it says. So Abraham departed as the Lord spoke to him. What did he say? I choose your way, God. I want your path, God. And what did God say? You go on my path, there's blessing. And you study the life of Abraham. What followed that man? Blessing. Now we'll go to Genesis 13 and verse 5. And Lot, which was Abraham's nephew, which went with Abram, had flocks, herds, and tents. What's the Bible saying? That Lot went where Abraham went. It's a good thing to follow those that are the blessed ones. How are they doing it? What are they doing in their life? What are they saying? What are they doing? What are they living by? Yeah. And the land was not able to bear them that they might dwell together, for their substance was so great that they could not dwell together. And there was strife between the herdmen of Abram's cattle and the herdmen of Lot's cattle, and the Canaanite and the Perizzite dwelled in the land. And Abram said unto Lot, let there be no strife between us. That's a spiritual man. A spiritual man says we can't have strife. Why? The Bible says where there's strife, there's evil and confusion and every wicked work. That's what the Word says in the book of James. Blessed are the peacemakers, Jesus said. All strife does is open the door to the devil. People that want to constantly engage in bitterness and strife and arguments and backbiting, let me just tell you something. I don't care how long they've gone to this church, who goes to this church, if somebody in the church starts gossiping to you about another church member, you tell them, I am not listening to this. Because if you engage in that strife, you're opening the door to the devil. You shut that down. You can't afford that in your life. And people like the yip-yap. Do not allow yourself to partake in that. Amen. It's dangerous. And Abraham said, we can't have strife. No strife. I pray thee between me and you and between my herdmen and your herdmen, for we are brethren. Is not the whole land before you? Separate yourself, I pray thee, from me. If you will take the left, I will go to the right. Or you depart from the right, I will go to the left. Now, some people say that Lot should have never left Abraham. That was his blessing. I don't know if he should or not should have left Abraham, but I do know what he should have done. Consult God. We know that's where his blessing was coming from, by being God always connects you with a human being. He does. God always will connect you with a human being that's more spiritual than you to get you higher spiritually all the time. It's called your shepherd. God connected me with somebody that knew more than me spiritually and got me to places that I couldn't get myself. Well, that might have been the case with Abraham and Lot, but I do know one thing. He should have consulted God. And look at this. Lot lifted up his eyes. Oh, that's good. All right, Lot lifted up his eyes. He must be consulting God because there's a problem. Their land can't bear them all. They have too much stuff. They're too blessed. That's a good thing to have. I had somebody one time say, pray for me, Pastor Mike. And they looked down and dire. This is a true story. Pray for me, Pastor Mike. I said, why? I just don't know what to do with all the blessings that keep coming in. I said, that's a good problem to have. Sign me up. I'm going to pray for you that you keep having that problem. Yeah. Dear Jesus, keep blessing them. Keep making their life harder with all these problems. Amen. That's what their problem was. We got too much stuff. We're too blessed. Amen. He said, we're too blessed. So he has a problem. They have an issue. There's strife. We can't have strife. And so what do we do? What do I do? What do I do? I don't know what to do. How many of you have been in a situation? I don't know what to do. I don't know how to get out of this problem. I don't know how to get past this test. I don't know what the answer is. I've been spinning my wheels. I'm in a rut. Bird's eye view. Yeah, just do that and that and that, and you'll get out of that. Lot lifted his eyes. Yes, he's going to go to God. That's the right thing to do. Uh-oh. He lifted his eyes and beheld the plain of the Jordan. His eyes didn't get high enough. He lifted his eyes and started looking out at the land. My land's a big thing when you're in agricultural society. It was well watered. The plain of the Jordan was well watered. You need well watered plains for all the cattle. In the herds, in the agriculture that he had, right? You need good land. He's looking at the land and it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. What's the land he's looking at? Sodom and Gomorrah. What was Sodom and Gomorrah? It was a pretty package with a nice bow on top of it with a stick of dynamite on the inside of it. And he couldn't see on the inside of that package. All he saw was, it's well watered. Look at this place. This is great. Even as the garden, the Bible says it was even as the garden of the Lord. That's how wonderful it was. It was like the Garden of Eden. Like the land of Egypt, as thou comest to Zoar. Verse 11. Then Lot chose. When did he choose? After he spent time seeking God on this big decision in his life? No. When he looked and his thoughts said, that's a good place to go. When he looked and his flesh said, ooh, I like that land. Then Lot chose him. One translation says, then Lot chose for himself all the plain of the Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves, the one from the other. Now, I don't have time because we got to close this up. He's at a crossroads in his life. His mind and his flesh tell him one thing. God would have never said, go to Sodom and Gomorrah. Would have never told him to go to Sodom and Gomorrah. Abraham didn't go there. God would have never told him to do it. Why? God's not leading his people into destruction. God's not leading his people into bad. He's leading people beside the still waters, the green pastures. Lot looks and says, I like that land. That seems good. The money seems good. For as many as are led by the dollar bill, they are the sons of God. No. Well, that feels good. For as many as are led by the feelings, they're the sons of God. No. Well, I think that'd be the best place to go. It looks good. For as many as are led by thoughts and what it looks like, they are the sons of God. No. For as many as are led by the Spirit, they're the sons of God. But he made the choice, not consulting God, consulting his mind and his flesh. Because it seemed good to his head and seemed good to his flesh. So he said, it's well watered. That makes sense. 1 + 1 = 2. Let's go. And he goes. And let me just give you a quick synopsis of what happens to his life. He goes to Sodom and Gomorrah. He ends up getting captured. Abraham, the one doing it right, has to come in and swoop in and fix this mess, which is what happens a lot for the people that are doing it right. Have to be the swoopers. Come in and rescue. And I'm glad to do it. I'm glad to do it. But man, oh man, the crumbling that people go through and some of the things that people put themselves in was unnecessary. He went there and got kidnapped. Did he have to go to Sodom and Gomorrah? Sure didn't. It's his choice. He gets captured there. Abraham comes in and saves him. His wife gets killed when the place gets destroyed because of how sinful it was, and the wages of sin is death. His wife, he loses his wife going there. Yeah, happened. He gets so perverted in his head, you can read the story, we got kids in here and things, that people show up at the door and try to take his daughter, try to have relationships with the men, and he says, no, you take my daughters. He starts giving away his daughters. So perverted in his mind. Loses his wife, gets kidnapped. This happens, wrong people knocking on the door, coming into his life. And then, his life ends up in a cave with his two daughters. In the most inappropriate thing that could happen between a dad and a daughter happens in that cave with both of them. Now you tell me, was that a fall from grace or what? Now what could people say? Oh, life just throws you bad things. Life just dealt me a bad hand. That's what Lot could have said. That's what people on the outside could have said, that, boy, the devil's really after that Lot. Or, I don't know, everything just happens for a reason. Yeah, the reason, Lot, was that you didn't hear from heaven. And that's why you're living out the consequences of that decision. Now, at any time, he could have said, Lord, I'm sorry. Forgive me. How do I fix this? And God would have fixed it, just like he'll do it for you. Maybe you've ended up in your Sodom and Gomorrah, and things are crumbling and crashing. Now see, you have to recognize, because sometimes doing it all right, fiery darts come at you. I'm not saying if you're going through a test and trial, you've missed God. Don't misunderstand me. That's why we got to learn to follow the Holy Ghost. But you know when you haven't followed God. You know when you've just done it your own way. You didn't follow the Word. You didn't follow the Holy Ghost. You just did what you thought, did what you felt. Don't be a Lot. What a terrible story. Abraham went on to be blessed, his family blessed. And the Bible calls them both righteous. The tale of two men. Abraham heard God, went where God said to go. What do you want me to do, God? Okay, I'll do it. Remember, Abraham followed God so much that when God said, take your son up on the mountain and kill him, Abraham said, sir, yes, sir. Now, God didn't want him to kill his son, but we saw that Abraham was willing to do whatever God said to do, and it led to blessing. And Lot decided, I'm going to pick this on my own. I'm going to choose this on my own. I'm going to go with the boyfriend or the girlfriend that I think is, that makes my flesh happy. I'm going to choose a job. It takes me out of church, puts me out from underneath God, doesn't have me have a pastor, but the money's better. Oh, that's how God leads now, huh? By money. That's called looking in the waters. The land is well watered everywhere. Come on now. I'm trying to keep you safe. I know I'm going a little bit long, but this is the stuff that will save your life. I can't wait to get into some of these stories of me missing the Holy Ghost led to decrease. Me following the Holy Ghost and supernatural blessings opened up from following God that I didn't see at the time, but by following Him opened up into things. Ladies and gentlemen, this is a series you need to get in your heart. And next week we'll go even further with it. But let's stop now. But you can't be a lot. You be a lot, you'll end up like a lot. What's that mean? Destruction. Well, everything happens for a reason. Yeah, oh yeah, you're right. There's a reason. There's a reason. Everything happens for a reason, Daddy. Yeah, Abby, the reason was you didn't follow me. You didn't listen. There's a reason. Absolutely. Were you blessed? Oh, Lord, we thank you so much for the word today. Father, we're endeavoring to be skillful with what you've said. Now, Father, I have to make sure that we know we're not condemning people at all. Father, you're the God of mercy. You're the God of mercy even when we screw up. I don't care if we've screwed up our whole life. I don't care if we haven't followed you in one decision our whole life. You are ready today to say, let's go on a new path. That's how merciful and kind you are. So, Father, if we need an overhaul in our life and a change of attitude, a change of how we're going to go forward, then so be it. Then so be it. But we're endeavoring to follow and be skillful with how you're doing things, Father. Why? There's so much for us. And when we walk in the good life, it ends up affecting all the other people around us. It ends up affecting the plan of God, the house of God, the vision that you have, Father, the hurting people that are around us, Father. We need to walk in the light. We need to walk in the blessing for mankind. So, Father, I pray for everyone here that they get this in their heart, that these truths would be branded on the inside of them, and they would say, I got to come back in here next week. I got to learn this. I got to learn to follow the Holy Ghost. I got to become skillful in this. Life and death in some situations. Prosperity and poverty. Sickness and health in some situations. Favor, no favor. Doors closing and doors opening in some situations. Oh, yeah. Father, we love you, we love you, we love you. If I could ask a favor real quick of everybody, bow your heads and close your eyes. Everybody that's in this service this morning, ask yourself this question real quick in your head. If today were my last day on planet Earth, where would I go? When I ask myself that question, my answer is 100% without a shadow of a doubt, I'm going to heaven. And you might say to yourself, well, Pastor, how can you be sure about that? Is it because you go to church, you're going to heaven? No, that's not how you get in. Is it because you try to be moral and have your good works outweigh your bad works? Nope, that's not how you get in. Is it because you're generous and you give to charity and you try to be a generous giving person? No, that's not how you get in. The only way I know that I'm for sure going to heaven is because I follow what the Word says. And He said, if I would believe on Jesus, I would not perish but have everlasting life. He said, if I would call on the name of Jesus, I would be saved. He didn't say anything about church attendance. When the two criminals were on the cross, you know, Easter season's approaching. We'll talk about that a little more. One criminal didn't believe in Jesus. One criminal did. And Jesus didn't look at that criminal that believed him and said, you didn't go to church enough. You weren't good enough. You did bad things in your life. No, Jesus said, you believe in me? Okay, you're going with me. You're in. Why? Because the Bible says if you'll believe. So if you're here this morning and you say, I do believe in Jesus, Pastor Mike. I believe that he was real. I might not understand everything. But I do believe there was a man named Jesus, and I do believe he died and rose again. I believe it. I can't figure it out in my head, but in my heart of hearts, I know that was true. Okay, then you're halfway there. The Bible says you have to believe and receive. The last step for you now, Jesus said, I stand at the door of your heart and I knock. Why is he knocking? Why is he knocking? Because when somebody knocks on the door, what are they trying to get you to do? Open it. Just because you believe in Jesus doesn't mean you're going to heaven. The devil believes in Jesus. You got to receive him as well. The Bible says if you'll confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. But he said you got to confess it. You got to ask him. If heads are bowed and eyes are closed, you say, Pastor, I'm one of those people. I'm not sure that I'm going to heaven. But I believe in Jesus. There's only one step left is to ask him. Now, I won't embarrass you. I won't have you stand up, come forward, or say anything on your own. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. If you want to receive Jesus here this morning, would you just lift your hand? No, for once and for all, I want to go to heaven. Anybody at all, just lift your hand high in the air. I see that hand. You can put it down. Thank you for your boldness. See, I'm not trying to embarrass anybody. This is a free gift. This is a free gift. He loves you. You don't have to be a member of this church. Anybody else, before we close the service, want to receive Jesus, lift your hand high in the air if you've never done it before. Now, if you've already done it, you don't have to do it again. Father, we had one hand, and if by chance there's someone else in here or someone listening by live stream, I want to encourage you. It's not the raising of the hand that gets you saved. It's the believing in Jesus. So heads are bowed, eyes are closed. If you raised your hand here this morning, or you should have, or if you're listening online and you want to get involved in this and receive Jesus, the last thing we have to do is to declare we believe in Him and to ask Him into our heart. Now, I'm not going to have you do that on your own. I'm going to lead you in a prayer that's going to be declaring your belief in Him and asking Him into your life or receiving Him. All I'm going to ask is that you repeat it and mean every word that you say. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Everybody in the church, along with the person that raised their hand or that should have raised their hands, say this with me. Say, Lord Jesus, I believe that you died on the cross for my sin. I believe that you rose from the dead. And I ask you to come into my heart. I make you my Lord and my Savior. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Glory to God. Now I know it's getting late, and I know Nettie soups are getting cold back there. We're having soups. Oh, you got them warmed up. We're good. We got the soups cooking. Let me just say before we close, for the person that raised their hand or anybody that should have, I said something. You don't have to go to church to go to heaven, and you don't. But if you want to live the best life that God has for you, it can't happen without a shepherd. Doesn't have to be me, but the Bible says without a pastor, without a local church, to hear the word so you can learn what God has for you, how to get it, you'll never get it. You'll get to go to heaven, but life will still be hard. I encourage you. If you raised your hand, if you should have, plant in a Bible-teaching church. You know what I'm going to preach around here is the Bible. And God will direct you. Don't let pride. God wants to turn situations around in your life. Every week we're here sharing the Word of God and giving people truths and help how to get better. Amen? And then we have fellowship, of course, over there immediately following the service. Go through the doors and through the maze if you're newer with us. And then the maze. I make it sound like it's hard, like a maze. I call it the maze. It's just a little hallway. But and then don't forget, Wednesday night, 6:30, we're going to be preaching the Word. Let's stand to our feet and give Him praise before we go. Father, we bless You. We thank You. Thank You. These people are patient with me. But these are life and death things. We glorify You. In Jesus' name, everyone said, Amen. You are dismissed.